Hey everyone, it's Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, and welcome to another Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. Lunch with Norm. All right, well, we're broadcasting to you today live on Facebook, YouTube, and LinkedIn. And if you're watching this on a replay, just skip ahead. Also, if you're on my profile page, you can always shoot over to the official Norm Farrar, aka The Beard Guy, to watch highlight clips, see more content, and whole episodes. Oh, and let's see, Monday, might as well get to that. We've got a good friend of mine, Paul Harvey from Seller Chatbot, coming on. He's going to be talking about new and interesting things that you can do with Facebook Messenger. Now, Kelsey, come on aboard.
All right. I just noticed you got a new mic.
Huh?
Did you get a new mic?
No, it's the same mic.
Oh, it looks different. Okay.
Oh, well, you know why? It's turned around. there we go.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. So if you haven't yet, please subscribe to us as a podcast. We are on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, anywhere you find your podcasts, you can find us. So Lunch with Norm, hit that subscribe button. Also, you can find us on our social medias. We got Instagram, Facebook, YouTube, TikTok. All of the content that you see here gets uploaded to YouTube. So the full episodes, even short clips, and I see that Stephen Pope is joining us. Hello, Stephen. Yeah, and enjoy the show, everyone.
Yeah, and that's great, Stephen. I see that you asked your whole team to join today. And, you know, that's leading into my introduction. So this is going to be a special episode. My buddy, I guess, I don't know, Brian, it's probably over 25 years now we've known each other, but he's a mental health advocate. His name's Brian Hansel. Today's episode is going to be a little different than usual. We're going to be talking about a subject that I think's not talked about enough. We're going to be discussing the importance of mental health and COVID-19. So I guess I want to talk a little bit about, this is just crazy, but I got a call a couple weeks ago from a friend that I hadn't talked to in years, but we're very good friends. It would actually be one of those friends that you can only count on your top 10 fingers. But anyways, from what I understood, he ended up taking his life because of COVID, social isolation. So I reached out to Brian and just said, you know, what do you think? And he thought this was a perfect time to talk about it. So we're going to dive into it. We're going to talk about this. One thing I ask everybody today is that let's hold the question. If you have a question, great. Kelsey's going to hold it to the end of the talk today. So over the next hour, Brian's going to be sharing with you his personal tragedy and what he's done as a result of the tragedy, his work as a mental health advocate. And I know he's not going to say anything about this, but he's won awards for his help in helping out with mental health in Canada. So I'll let him talk a bit more about that. So if you have any questions, shoot them over into the comment box and sit back, relax, grab a cup of coffee, and enjoy the show. So, Brian, there you are, sir.
Yes, I am.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right today. Norm, how's your mental health?
Are you going to do this check with me?
Yes, I am. How is your mental health today?
I think my mental health today is good.
Excellent. Excellent.
Thank you. Excellent. Well, it was funny because we were talking about, and I know you're going to talk about this later on, but the checklist that your grandmother talked, or your mother, goes through. So we got to hit on that because it's funny, but it's serious at the same time. But anyways, Brian, I reached out to you because of the issue that happened to me, and I started talking to other people, other podcasters about this, other friends. And one thing that I was shocked about, absolutely shocked about, was that probably 70-80% of the people said that since March, they know of at least one person that has taken their life due to suicide. And one lady had five people that she knew. And so it was like, why am I not hearing about this? There's nothing really out there that I've heard. So anyways, let's just dig into it. And I want to tell everybody, this is completely out of my comfort zone. Okay. I'm telling you this right now. I'm doing my best on this. Brian is the expert. I'm 100. If this is e-com, hey, I can rock it. I can't rock it on this. So Brian, I'm going to do my best to make sure that this comes off. And I'm not even going to do the talking. I'm going to let you do all the talking. So why don't we just get into the first thing? And so let's look at, you know, can you share some high level stats with us just regarding life, loss of life by suicide?
Yeah, for certain, Norm. And just before I do that, I'd just like to share with everybody that I wouldn't consider myself a subject matter expert. While I'm trained in mental health first aid and I'm a certified workplace psychological health and safety advisor, really what I'm going to be sharing today comes from my experiences following the tragic loss of my son. Paul lost his life to suicide, and hence my role as a mental health advocate. As far as statistics are concerned, I mean, there's just a lot of them on the internet. You can look up more than I'm going to be able to spit at you. And this really isn't meant to be the purpose of today's conversation, the statistics. But I will share this. And these are reported cases. I have to underline reported because sometimes things are swept under the rug a little bit or the reporting gets skewed. But in Canada, we lose 12 people a day to suicide. It's almost 4,000 people a year.
Wow.
In the U.S., the number is close to 140 people a day. It's unbelievable. Globally, the number is 2,780 people. That's a million people a year. So pick out, you know, a place, a geographical region that's closer to you, that's about a million people. Take a good hard look at it and imagine you come back in a year's time and nobody's living there anymore. Because that's the sad reality.
Wow.
Suicide is the number two cause of death in people aged 15 to 24 years old. Okay. And, you know, Norm, as you're getting calls and hearing from people, I get almost daily calls, you know, from people that have also been affected by the loss of life due to suicide. Now, normally, you know, when I'm speaking in groups of people, I run a little test. I'm not quite sure how it's going to work on a podcast, but we'll give it a try. I ask people to raise their hands. I won't be able to know if you are or you aren't, but
I trust my audience.
There you go. But maybe you could raise your hand, Norm, and help us out here a little bit.
Here okay. We go.
So I have three questions. If you've ever felt stress, raise your right hand. If you've ever felt anxious, raise your left hand. And if you still have one hand that's not up or both hands that aren't up, raise a hand if you felt depressed, for whatever that might mean to you. Now give yourself a round of applause because you've just helped me prove for many thousands of times that we all have mental health. Mental health is a good thing. You have physical health, we have mental health. Some days we have really good mental health, and some days we have less than favorable mental health. And depending on our day and what's going on in our life, we could be back and forth like a yo-yo on a pendulum, going from good to less than favorable. Sadly, some people get stuck in that less than favorable place. But I also want to emphasize for the listeners, and you might think I'm a little bit sensitive to this, and I probably am, but people do not kill themselves, and they do not commit suicide. Suicide is a cause of death, period, end of sentence. People die from cancer, people die from heart disease, people die from a whole host of things. But the reality is that suicide is a cause of death. And when somebody loses their life to suicide, that is a better way to frame it for both the memory of that individual and the people that have been left behind. Number one, if you take away anything that's important from this conversation today, please look after your own mental health. Do something every day that is good for you, that is about your mental health. So there's a stats, Norm, and a little bit of my conversation about sad, stressed, anxiety, and depressed. And I truly do hope that everybody takes it to heart. And you know what? When you get into that kind of mode and you get to the point of being able to talk, I have this little phrase that we use, and that is, let your inside out. You'll be surprised by who you meet. Let your inside out. You'll be surprised by who you meet. All right.
Okay. Oh, hey, Brian, one of the things I think we should bring out too is that you're not a therapist. There should be a disclaimer that, you know, I know that you were talking to me about it yesterday, about something to make sure that this is all legal and, you know, somebody doesn't come after us for trying to give medical advice.
Well, absolutely. You know, this is sharing this horrible ride I've been on for the last 10 years and how I've been trying to have a positive impact. And these are all my personal experiences. So I, you know, other than what I said earlier, I am not a trained therapist, psychologist, psychiatrist, or even a counselor. I just have had a lot of experience and have become I could be called a mental health advocate. In fact, we won't spend any time on it, but I've been awarded for, and our foundation has been awarded for our work in mental health advocacy.
And definitely later on, let's talk about that foundation and the awards as well. That's important. All right. So let's move on to, let's talk a little bit about COVID-19 and mental health. What can people do? Tell us a little bit about it. What have you seen?
Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of look at it as what have we lost with COVID-19 and the loss of life to this horrible disease, and people even being affected by it is absolutely horrible. But again, the focus of this conversation is really going to be on mental health issues, where the loss of life is equally tragic. Say to you is that as humans, and to varying degrees, we crave social interactions. We need a sense of belonging and to be part of a community. With COVID-19, we've been shut down, locked down, and isolated. Our levels of stress and anxiety and feelings of depression have hit all-time highs. In fact, there was a recent study by McMaster University here in Canada that says that 60% of parents who have school-aged children are suffering from depression as children are going back to school and everybody's imagineering what outcomes are going to be and situations that they're going to be faced with. We're also seeing, and there are very few statistics on it, other than you just hear more of them, is that there's an increased incidence of loss of life to suicide or near loss of life to suicide. For those that have school-aged children, you know, their activities of daily life and responsibilities have shifted. Our social connectivity is at an all-time low. Some have even said that they have a sense that we've lost our sense of being or even our sense of purpose. It's an increased use of drugs, alcohol, and substance abuse. And unfortunately, in some of those cases, they too result in the loss of life. We've become heavily reliant on the internet, social media, and news as our points of connectivity. And believe it or not, some have actually finished Netflix or whatever their favorite streaming service is. Quite simply, we're just not built or conditioned for this level of isolation.
So is there, I work in e-com, so I'm at a computer all day long. I've noticed that my only exercise has been going to events. That's probably why I go to so many events, just to, you know, get my steps in. But for those people that aren't behind a computer or not used to it, is there anything that that you see that they can do to help out? Is it just to get up, walk around? I mean, it's getting better now, but even now, we just looked at Melbourne. Melbourne got a six-week, I think it was a six-week shutdown. Hawaii, you know, there's all sorts of different, it's coming back again, you know, in some areas, and we're going to be locked down again. It could be. What do we do?
Yeah, so I think you hit the, you know, some of the points there, Norm, is, you know, if you're working from home and you're on the computer all the time, make sure you take lots of breaks. I mean, I go back to think of, you know, the days that when we were in high school and college and universities, and classes were set times. They were set times because we didn't have the ability to concentrate any longer than 45 minutes or 90 minutes, right? And so, I mean, you've got to give yourself a break. You absolutely have to give yourself a break. You need to step away. You know, you need to go and do something else. You know, most people will advocate for going to do something physical. I'll talk about some other things that people can do later on. But, you know, just even step outside for a moment and take a deep breath. Is really, really healthy for you. But, you know, often, you know, we have a singular focus on our physical health. We learn about physical and nutritional health in school, but mental health is rarely, if ever, discussed. And as I'm indicating to you, everybody should take time every day to do something for their own mental health. I can't tell you what that is, but you can discover that for yourself. And again, I'll share some ideas around that in a few minutes. You know, in my life as an advocate, you know, one of the things that I'm advocating for is for mandatory curriculum at all levels of education that includes mental health. But it's not taught in schools. We don't learn it, right? We start to, and there's a difference between mental health and mental illness. Mental health is the feelings part and how you're connecting, right? And mental illness, you know, is often a neurosis or a psychosis, and can certainly be brought on by levels or increased or prolonged periods of time of being stressed, anxious, or depressed. And so that's what we've got to watch. We need to look after our mental health. We need to train ourselves and condition ourselves. And truly, we don't do anything about it. We don't learn anything about it. You know, we're learning about it now, but often it's, you know, out of a crisis or a tragedy in our lives. We need to strengthen and protect our own mental health. But let me just share with you two quick stories. The first is a number of years ago, I had an opportunity to visit a number of the former Eastern Bloc countries, and I was very curious to hear from people as to what life was like after the fall of the wall. And resoundingly, what I heard from people was that I needed to understand that after the collapse of communists, they were lost. They were lost. Up until that point in time and for all of their lives, they'd been dependent on somebody else, the state, the government, to tell them what to do, what to eat, and what to wear. And it really took time for them to take over their own lives. So why is that important? Well, almost in a similar fashion as we were shut down, our daily lives changed. We didn't go to our places of work. We didn't drop off or pick up our kids from school, daycare, or take them to and for other activities. We were limited by where and when we could go most places. We absolutely lost our routines. And, you know, something that I try to watch for myself is, do I have a daily routine? I mean, it's easy to, you know, get out of bed and walk 5 steps into my office, but you know, is that the best thing I should be doing at that moment in time? And is it the best thing that I should be doing, you know, for myself? So I wanted to share with you, Norm, and to the listeners, a bit of an idea and how you might want to get yourself back on track. I know it's going to sound like a big task, but for the next week, keep an hourly log of what you're doing. Just in whatever way, fashion, form you want, write it on the back of your hand, put it on a piece of paper, create an Excel spreadsheet. You decide, And then at the end of that week, review the log and start to identify the things that are now part of your routine. And did you have any specific goals for the week? Did you accomplish them? And once you've had some time with yourself to look at that, for the following week, try to set out a structured timetable. I'm getting up at 6 o'clock in the morning and I'm gonna have breakfast. I'm gonna go for a workout. I'm gonna walk around the block, whatever that might be for you, but start to put yourself back into a routine and a schedule, and the right one that works for you and for your family. So, you know, consider your family, your what you need personally and what your work responsibilities are, and then try to stick to it. And at the end of that week, have a look at how well you did alongside of what you set out to be your weekly routine, and adjust it as time goes forward. But you'd be amazed how simple we've fallen out of our routines. You'll also be amazed at how quickly we can fall back into routines. And when we're in a routine, we've gained a sense of control over ourselves and our own destiny a little bit. And that really does, for me personally, again, I can only share from personal experience, not of those around me, but it's really results in a decrease in my level of stress and anxiety, because I'm purposefully doing things. I feel like I'm getting things accomplished. I'm not kind of wandering around anymore. The second story is I'm going to share is about my mom. Norm, you alluded to it earlier in our conversation here, but my mother is a healthy and vibrant 97-year-old lady. She lives in what's called a vitality center. She has her own little apartment. And I always say it's like living on a cruise ship for her. But, you know, she goes down for meals. She doesn't have to look after those things anymore. But, you know, for all intents and purposes, she's pretty independent. But, you know, the thing that I give big credit for my mom in living this long life and a healthy life is that she was always the master of having a routine. Like, I knew what day laundry day was because it was always the same day every week. And I had to have my laundry ready and in place or it wasn't getting done. Right. So having a routine, whether it was in her career as a stay-home mom and homemaker, or her dedication to her own mental and physical health, or even in her volunteer work, it's one of the things that contributed to my attitude about giving. And that is that if you can give, give back. But you know, for the last almost 40 years almost 40 years since I've not lived in the same location as my mom, every time I see her, I get the following interview. It goes like this. How are you feeling? My response, good, mom. How's your physical health? Are you getting lots of exercise? Oh, yes, mom. I'm very active. What about your mental health? Are you taking time to look after that? I think so, would be my answer. Emotionally, how are you doing? I feel fine, mom. Intellectually, are you getting enough stimulus? Read any good books lately? And then she would ask me, are you regular? To which I always replied, no, mom, I drink my coffee black. So it's absolutely a great checklist. It's been run on me thousands of times, but it's running yourself and others. And it will allow you to find and to find you know, a routine that all works best for you.
It's funny, Brian. My friends know that I've had depression in the past, and my mom gave me a piece of advice that seemed to work. So at my worst or lowest, she just, you know, came over, she talked, and she said, just make your bed every day and you'll feel better. So that's what I started to do. So you make your bed, you know, it's like, I'm just sleeping in it, but it gives you that routine. And it might be a slight piece of the pie that you were talking about, but it was still a routine. And did I notice anything? Yes, I absolutely did notice that it helped.
Well, for sure. And you know, every time you walk by your bed when it's unmade, it's screaming at you. And this little things going off in your head. You haven't made me yet. Would you hurry up and do it? You know, for those that haven't already seen it, Norm, you might want to look it up yourself. There is a great YouTube It's called Make Your Bed, and it's done by I think I'll get it wrong, but like a commanding officer or senior officer in the U.S. military, and he talks about and the theme is making your bed, but there's so many great messages that are contained within that YouTube. So it's certainly something I would recommend to people.
Very good. So, I mean, we've talked about a lot of different things, but are there any other things that you feel that are important to consider?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, for those of us that, you know, are fortunate enough to still be working, I've been working through COVID, we have some newfound time. You know, we're not commuting. We're, you know, some people are spending an hour to 2 hours a day commuting back and forth. We're not doing that. And, you know, what I like to suggest to people is, well, why don't you capitalize on the newly found time that you have and start doing things that you've been putting off? You know, one day I'd like to start woodworking. One day I'd like to pick up my painting. One day I'd like to start playing my guitar again. You know, and I would go so far as to suggest, just make a list of three things that you love to do or you've been putting off and start doing those tomorrow. Take up or revisit a hobby. Find time to be mindful in nature. Read for the joy of reading. Find books of inspirations or that are distracting and fun. I mean, if you're in business, don't read business books. I know your listeners will be predominantly into the tech sector. Don't read textbooks. Textbooks or tech books. consider limiting your screen time. Social media will still be there when you come back from a break. You know, once in a while, I'll get notes from friends that say, I shut her all down for a week. I feel great. I'm not a slave or servant to my social media anymore, and I really didn't miss anything. Music. Take up an instrument. If you have one, play it. Listen to music. It soothes the soul and can be a great way to connect with yourself or to share a connection with others. You know, a song that when I was at one point, you know, as I was deep into the grieving process of the loss of my son, all of a sudden, all I could hear, and this thing was coming out inside of my head, and the words that I could hear were, you know, in your hour of darkness, Mother Mary stands by you. And you don't have to be religious. So, but I went, holy smokes. And I started singing the song to myself. And then I realized it was Let It Be. And that's a great go-to song for me. Develop a list of go-to songs. They'll speak to your heart. They'll speak to others. They really can be refreshing. I mean, I feel so strongly about that within the foundation, and I'll talk about it now because I didn't have it scheduled to talk about later on, but in the within the foundation, an initiative that we launched last year was Convo Song, where we've gathered up a bunch of artists and songs that are having a bit of a playoff bracket to see, you know, which song people most connects to. And it's kind of funny because a number of times that I thought a song was going to get through because it was of our generation is getting trounced by the younger people on social media who like somebody of their generation. But at least it's helping to share the whole emotion of music and how you can connect with it. But, you know, I'd also say to you is to reach out and connect with someone. They need it, and so do you. Make a list of 10 people who are important in your life, and with which you haven't spoken to recently. I mean, Norm, you said an example of an old friend contacting you, you know, for sad reasons, but doesn't hurt to stay connected with them now that an opportunity, as tragic as it is, has been created. I'd say, you know, make a list of 10 people, just repeating myself, that are important to you. And then for the next 10 weeks, pick up the phone. Don't send an email. Don't send a text message. Don't connect with them on social media. It's a monologue, and it's not a place to have a conversation with somebody. So pick up the phone once a week, have a conversation. This long distance calling isn't what it once was. And so it's fairly economical to do, but make it lighthearted and fun and share some of your favorite memories of that person. And what I found for myself is that's not about living in the past. It's about help me getting grounded in my present and my future, right? To know, you know, there were some great things that I've done in life or had an opportunity to do, or great people that I've known in my life. And wow, great things to leverage off of and inspire me and propel me forward.
I just want to share something else, that one of the things that I was able to do during my depression, which it lasted years. But anyways, one thing that was fantastic was laughter. Yeah. And it's hard. So for those people who, oh, just a sec, I got coffee. For those people that are going through depression, trying to even watch a funny movie can be hard. Trying to watch a funny YouTube video with stupid kittens can be hard. You don't want to do it. You're in a state of depression. But if you force yourself to go to the comedy section or to watch the stupid kitten, you're going to find that you're going to get a bump. And I don't know if that's an adrenaline or whatever it is. Then you watch another one, maybe some Three Stooges or whatever. Do that for 45 minutes. You just saved yourself a couple $100 from going to a therapist. I mean, it does work, you know, like, and again, I'm not giving any type of advice, but I'm giving reasons that I've, like, how I've gone through it and how I kind of survived. That's one of the best things that I ever did, was go and watch something funny.
So, Norm, tonight, why don't you, you know, look up on Netflix a movie called Short Circuit.
I know Short Circuit.
Well, you said the Stooges, that, you know, that scene with the Stooges. I can't stop laughing now, right? But I think to your point, Norm, you know, what I've seen a lot is that humor and laughter are the first to go when somebody's feeling less than favorable or less favorable with their mental health. And it's the last thing to return. It's the last thing to return.
Interesting. Yeah, that's very interesting, Brian. Let me see. Oh, yes. I just noticed something here that Kelsey posted. Links. You've sent us a whole bunch of links. You want to just quickly tell us about them? You can see them in the comment section there.
Right. Listen, you can spend days looking at things on the internet. You know, when we have problems, we all consult with Dr. Google and try to self-diagnose and go to our doctor with, here's what's ailing me. But so the first thing I'd say is be careful about what your sources of information are. I tend to rely on things that are regulated or are of a government origins or are, you know, well national branded things. So I'm not saying we included a link for the foundation. I'm not saying that's the authoritative thing. I know some people once in a while get interested in what I do for business, and so we included a link for there. The Mental Health Commission of Canada, fabulous resources, unbelievable resources you'll find with the Mental Health Commission of Canada. And in fact, I think next week or the week after, they're actually doing two sessions. One's kind of mental health in the workplace for managers, and then 2 days later they come back and are doing mental health in the workplace for employees. But absolutely great resources. There's the Canadian Mental Health Association, and that's their national link. You know, if you're in Canada, there's all sorts of there's in most major centers, there is a chapter of the Canadian Mental Health Association.
And Brian, that doesn't matter. I mean, it really, there's no boundaries, right? So somebody looking at these resources from the US, Australia, they'll still get some great information.
Oh, no, we closed the border for COVID, Norm.
Oh, I forgot about that.
There is no limit. And so they're great resources. And again, I actually was invited by the World Bank to speak at a symposium 2 years ago. And it was on, you know, kind of connecting the dots on mental health stories from around the world. And, you know, I was there with people from Peru and Kenya and Colombia and for a full day session in Washington, D.C. You know, it's amazing to see what work is going on in different jurisdictions and different countries. It's amazing to see what similarities there are in different places and different jurisdictions. But it saddens me to see the silos, because there's so much duplication of effort going on and not a lot of sharing. And so, you know, go to Australia and look up, you know, type in Australia and mental health, you'll get all of their key sites. And also, just before I continue on, because the thought crossed my mind, is there are a lot of mental health or seemingly mental health related apps out there. And I don't really want to upset any of your listeners who might have developed one, but check them out well. Make sure you know that they've got proper accreditation attached to them, and that they're actually going somewhere and going to do something for people. There's a great one that's coming up. So this is actually workplace mental health. There's a virtual webinar. It's on September 15th at 1 o'clock. Eastern time. So there's a link there to go and sign into that. I know both of the speakers, two of the main speakers. There's three people speaking. I know two of the three. You'll be blown away by the content and the things that you'll learn there. There's the American Society of Suicidology and the National Institute of Mental Health. But are ones that I've provided here. But there's all sorts of great resources in Australia. In fact, Australia is a leader. There's lots of leadership around the world, and one country's not better than the next. Everybody's doing great things. I just don't have time to keep up with all of the things that are going on.
Right. Okay, so I know I want to get into the foundation, but before I do that, yesterday when we were talking, you were talking about 10 points. And I've misplaced that somewhere. Do you have that 10-point checklist that you were talking to me about yesterday? I'm going to throw you on the spot here, but
yeah, no,
I mean, we talked a long time yesterday, right? It was also a catch-up day.
Yeah. So I've lost the thread on it, Norm. Okay. I'll mark it down here. And 10 points.
Yeah. And any before we get into the foundation, is there anything else that you want to talk about regarding mental health, COVID, anything?
You know, again, just to circle back and underline, you know, the main theme of everything that I'm trying to get across here is do something every day to look after your own mental health. And if you don't understand what mental health is, and mental health is a good thing, okay, don't be afraid of it. Don't get caught up in mental health being a stigma. Don't feel bad if you're not feeling good today, right? Have the strength when you know somebody well enough, like I know Norm, and we started the show and I said, Norm, how's your mental health today? Right? And I got pretty good. So, as sure as the sun's going to rise tomorrow, we'll talk about our physical health and our ailments until the cows come home, or we'll talk about our dietary restrictions or how we've changed to being vegans and all sorts of things, but it's not a comfortable conversation to talk about mental health. And it's not because we don't know how, right? We think that mental health is a bad place and a bad conversation. It's an absolutely fantastic conversation to have. And it's an absolutely fantastic conversation to say, you know, yesterday I wasn't feeling 100. Oh, let me share this one. This has truly happened to me a couple of times. I was having a meeting with my team. We were doing it by Zoom. And I don't know, it was something was stuck in me, and I wasn't feeling 100%. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, I started thinking, oh, I don't know. I feel like this is not going to be a good meeting, and it's not going to be a good meeting because of me. And I stopped the meeting. And I said, listen, team, I got to tell you, I'm not feeling 100%. I don't know what's going on with me right now. I just need you to bear with me. Now that I've said it, I'll try to keep myself in check. But I need you to just understand that I don't feel myself at this moment. And we continued on, and everybody acknowledged it, and shared that they were there to support me. And about an hour into a 3-hour meeting, I felt like myself again. Whatever was, causing me the stress and anxiety left. And I truly do believe a large part of that was confessing. I wasn't feeling myself.
Interesting. I probably have to apologize to a bunch of people listening to you, because I've been on those meetings and I should just cut out and, just let them carry on. But, one of the things I was thinking about while you were talking about the last point was stress. So right now, there's so many people that, because they're out of the routine, they might be out of work, they're getting into e-com for the very first time, maybe just, they're new to Amazon. There's all sorts of different stresses that are pulling at you. And I always try to tell people that are going through some tough times in e-com, usually it's e-com I get the question, is you don't have to take stress. The stress that I had 30 years ago, the problems that I had 30 years ago, they can still come up today. The difference is I don't have a bleeding ulcer. Today, the exact same stress comes up, and I've just learned how to handle it. And one of the key things I can tell people from my own experience is it's never as bad as you think. So the stuff that made me keep awake at nights, I really do. If it was nowadays, it would have just been, brush off the shoulder. We'll figure it out. It's not a big deal. So a lot of the time when you start to get stressed and you're not eating, and then all of a sudden it's just your whole mood changes. Just think about it. Okay, you might have lost some money. Oh, Amazon, suppressed your listing. Whatever happens, you'll get around it. It's not a big deal. It might be a cash flow thing. It might be at the time. You're going to get around it. You're going to survive. You don't have to worry about it. And I'm serious. Just think about it that way. And the stress will just, it'll be less. Okay. So I don't know if you have anything to say about that, Brian.
Well, it brings to mind the thought that, the words that I used to hear from my parents often when I had something on my mind, and it would be the response I would get was, "Oh, don't worry, it'll be better tomorrow." And I go, "Bullshit!" honestly, you're not listening to me. This is how I'm feeling, right? And I'll tell you, they were right. A lot of times, things aren't as bad as they feel in the moment. Understand, if you're feeling stressed or anxious, the best question you can ask yourself is, what am I afraid of? What am I afraid of? And give yourself an answer. And if you don't know that answer, it's not a penalty. Think about it. And then if you can, sit down with somebody and say, I'm feeling really stressed and anxious about this, and this is what's causing me to feel that way, my fear, mm-hmm. right? And they don't need to give you an answer. You have to define your boundaries. But, I'll share with you, my experience around, I consider myself a student of the human condition, but my experience around people is that as long as we leave things up in our head to rattle around, they get worse and worse every time the needle lands on that topic, right? Because our minds are bored of it. And they go, well, okay, let me take that and make it a little bit bigger, a little uglier than it was the last time. And bouncing around off the four walls It just gets it gets worse and worse, and we manifest it into something else. So if you can't talk to somebody, write it down. Somebody said, well, I only write stuff on my computer and I don't want anybody to find it. Good. Password protected, right? You know, do something. But you got to get it somehow out of here and out your lips, because when it's running around inside of our heads, there's a bunch of irrational thoughts that are running, that are jumping around there. When we're forced to take it and write it down or enunciate it, it forces us to put it into some kind of logical thought and sequence. And often by the time we finish talking to somebody, or almost at the moment you start talking to somebody, you feel this relief. Oh, it's not as bad as I thought it was, right? Or when you write it down, you get to the end, you go, that's not as bad as I thought it was, right? So, you know, it's easy to say things aren't always as bad as they seem to be. Help yourself. Ask yourself, what are you afraid of? And you might be very surprised by the answer.
Before, I said this before, but before we get into the foundation, which I think is so important, I think it's probably the best time to see if there's any questions.
No questions, but we've just had a bunch of comments right. Going through.
And we did ask at the beginning to hold the questions. So look, anybody that has any questions, now is the time to post them. And Brian, it would be, I see I'm pushing it off to you, Brian, willing to help.
Yeah. But do you want to just run through everyone that's been?
Sure. Let's go through the list.
All right. So let me see. From the beginning, we had Tony tuning in.
Hey, Tony.
We had Francois, Ryan. Let me see. She is coming back. I think I'm not sure how to pronounce her name. Sorry. Sai or C, but we have that. Irene is back.
See, Victor's back with a couple of comments.
Victor's back. Victor. He's got a great.
All right, guys. And once again, we really do appreciate everybody joining today, whether you've commented or not. It's an important topic. If you do have any questions, you know, please let us know. It doesn't look like anybody does have any questions right now. I'm sure there are. But let's get in. Let's talk about this. We haven't talked about Paul. We haven't talked about the Paul Hansel Foundation. So can you give us a little bit more information about it?
For sure. So, you know, trigger warning for your listeners and for myself, because sometimes I get triggered. And one of the things that I have learned is there's two things you can do with emotions. One is to control them, and the second is to contain them. And I have never succeeded whenever I've tried to control emotions. They've just ripped me up inside. Containing them is a little bit different. You know, you can still show your emotions or be emotional. And you know, depending on who you're with, you might let them out in different ways and fashions. But so here we go. So Paul's my son, and tragically, Paul lost his life to suicide in December of 2010. So we're coming up to 10 years. That's not a day that I really care to recognize. I usually make sure that I'm busy doing something else and off, you know, just trying to keep things off my mind. And I mean, talk about a shock. I guess when people lose their life to suicide, it's a shock for everybody, but, it just, I'm getting that feeling about what a horrible moment in time that was. But I can tell you that, you know, Paul was a happy, fun, and talented individual. He'd sooner give you a hand up as opposed to a hand out. You know, if one of his friends needed something, he'd kind of give it to them for a little bit, and then he'd get them into doing the work that they needed to solve their own problems. He was a go-to person for all of his friends. And if he saw somebody that was alone or looked like they were sad, he would be the first person to step up and break the ice. He was musically inclined. He played guitar, piano, he wrote and recorded his own music, some of which you'll still find up on iTunes. He started writing music when he was 8 years old. I think he might have posted some things on Facebook when he was 12 or 14, but You know, there were things that were important to him, and it's interesting to go back and listen to them once in a while. He and I were best friends, and I know that because he told me so, because he had so many friends. I was trying to figure out, like, you know, who you're the closest with, and I said to him one day, I said, Paul, who's your best friend? And he looked at me like I had three heads, and he said, Dad, you don't know? I said, no, I don't know. He said, it's you. How come you don't know that, right? And he and I were as thick as thieves. We did everything together. We went to, we played golf. We went to music concerts. We listened to music. We just, you know, there was, it was a lot of Paul and I. And that was not to the exclusion of my daughter. It, this was when Paul and I were around, my daughter wasn't, but we would spend a lot of time together. Paul was in his first year of university. He lost his life to suicide. When Paul passed away, somehow I had the presence of mind to say to everybody, don't send flowers. We're going to do something here. I don't know what it's going to be, but we'll set up a memorial fund. We're going to set something up here, and we're going to pay it forward, as Paul would have, to do some good in this world. So we created the Paul Hansel Foundation. The mission of the foundation is very simple, and that is that we promote and support programs that are aimed at the mental and emotional well-being of children and youth. We don't create any programs. You might say, well, that's not so in a minute, but we don't really create any programs because we don't have the expertise, but we support those that do. One of our kind of biggest initiatives is something that we call the Convo Plate, which is short for Conversation Plate. And this is, I don't know if that's backwards to you, but this is a conversation plate. They're handcrafted by youth, and it carries, you know, their own special messages of hope, inspiration. It could be pictures, it could be just nice colors they like. Really depends upon the individual and what it is that that they want to share. So we have young people. We go out to locations where there's young people, to schools and to different teams and associations, and they're crafted by young people. It's really the conversation plate is really a movement. One of the things that I find difficult and frustrating, and it's happening now again today. Yesterday was World Suicide Prevention Day. Today is the 11th of September. Tomorrow will be the 12th. So I guess we're only going to talk about suicide prevention on the 10th of September every year, which just isn't right. We should be talking about suicide prevention and mental health every day. But the purpose of the Convo Plate, it serves three purposes. The first is to stimulate conversations about mental health. The second is to inspire everybody to look after their own mental health. And the third is to raise money for mental health charities and causes. We don't ask for money. We're fortunate, and sometimes in on venues like this, we have an opportunity to say we could use some support, but we don't actually go out and campaign very hard for money. Sometimes it sticks to us and comes back, and we're very, very appreciative of it. So that convo plate, like this, and there's a lot of them, goes in a box like this. That is foam lined. It's a protective box. And the other thing that we put in the box is something that we call conversation starters. There's one that's specific to, and it's not meant to be the all authoritative version, but this talks about resilience. The next one talks about coping. And the next one talks about stress. Okay. And so I apologize for the dog barking in the back. So the reason that we have put those cards, we put a small supply of those cards in the box, is because people don't know how to have a conversation about mental health. This is a pass it forward kind of thing. What we do is we find where people volunteer to be conversation leads, and we want this plate to move. I want to give Norm this plate. I would like Norm to give it to Kelsey. I would like Kelsey to give it to somebody else, to give it to somebody else, and do three things. As conversation leads, we ask, and everybody downline, we ask everybody to do three things. One is register that you have the plate, because it helps us know where it is. But we also have a tracking system on our website that you can actually see where the plates have been. The second is to post a picture on social media with the plate. Now, not everybody's comfortable having themselves in the picture. Some people want their company signs under it. Doesn't matter to me. And the third thing is to make a donation to a mental health charity or cause, however big or small that might be. Our results, somehow I always end up gravitating to all the high profile people that have had a place. And there's lots of those people, lots in the music industry, lots in politics, lots of company presidents and CEOs and so on. But, as important as they are, they're important to help keep the profile of the Convo played high, but they're also important to help fuel it as we drive it around the world. So let me just tell you, we launched this in May of 2016. So we're a little over 4 years into it. We currently have 900 plates that are in circulation that are somewhere around this globe. We've touched six continents. I've lost track of the number of countries. We have had a plate that's actually gone out and circumnavigated the globe. It was in a Clipper yachting race. So the crew took the plate from Liverpool, and it was on, and took some pictures along at different ports they were in, but took it right around the world for us. So that was just absolutely amazing. So it's been an amazing journey, amazing to have young people get into, I call it like an art break, or I'm not a therapist, so I can't call it an art therapy course, but just to see the mood in these classes last 90 minutes to 2 hours, but just to see the shift in young people, from the moment they walked into the room to the moment they're leaving the room, because I spend time talking about Paul. I spend time trying to normalize the conversation about mental health. I get engaged with everybody, in their artwork. In fact, it's often difficult for me to pass one of these plates out, but it's really been inspiring and empowering to see how this has taken off and has found its way around the globe. So that's about it on the Paul and the foundation and our initiative, Norm.
What I love about the Convo plate is it opens up conversation. The cards that you were showing there, we got to talk about with friends, talk about with families. It's so important. And, kudos to you for coming up with that. While you were talking about it, I'm bawling here. I don't have any.
No.
I don't have any Kleenex.
No.
But it's so important.
Thank you, Norm. And I can certainly connect with, on many levels, the emotions that you're sharing and expressing right now. And, you're doing great work. And I think it's phenomenal that you've broken off from the commerce side of your podcast to more of the human interest side, and specifically the mental health side.
I mean, it is important, Brian. And my glasses were steaming up. So, anyways, it had to be addressed. I mean, when people around you are suffering. I just thought it was time. I mean, I'm glad we had so many people participate, so many podcasters that helped promote this. I'm glad for you because you've really helped. Look, the last thing I want to talk about is to help. So how can we as a group help support the Paul Hansel Foundation?
Yeah, for sure. You know, somebody's interested in being what we call a conversation lead. In other words, that's the first person on the thread, right? And not lead this convo plate, but a plate like this one. You know, get in touch with me. I think my email is up somewhere. One of our goals, we set six great big goals when we started this initiative. And one of our goals is to knock one of these plates out of the world. Hopefully it stays intact and get it up on the International Space Station. So I don't know. We keep getting closer, but if somebody in this, your network, Norm, or in listening to this, has a way in which we can get the plate. Now, I get the fact that the plate's this size and it goes in a box and all the rest of it. And, you know, it's not really meant for space travel, but it's the plate or a facsimile of. I mean, you know, like I really just would love to see a picture of the plate being held by members on the International Space Station. Can you imagine what they go through from a mental health perspective?
Oh, my God.
Right?
I mean, how rock solid do they have to be?
Absolutely. And then, you know, it's always a soft ask, but it's important. I mean, during this time of COVID, I mean, with the little fundraising that we did, we're not able to do it all. So, you know, if anybody's interested in wanting to support us, our not-for-profit directly, any amounts of money be gratefully received and be put to good use to help keep this initiative, the convo plate, going and help with our advocacy around mental health. And if you're interested in doing that, just email me directly.
Fantastic. So is there anything else before we wind down the podcast?
No, I am done.
Okay.
Oh, it's something else, Norm.
You know, actually, this is pretty good for you because normally you're fairly long-winded.
Yes. Yes.
We do have one question.
Okay.
I'll throw it up here. So I'll get right to it. My one question is, there are any tips on how to notice if someone is suffering from depression around us?
So, you know, depression means different things to different people. So I'm just always careful I'll just get this dog out of the house.
Sure. What I can tell from my experience is that you start to, it's a complete change in your mood. So
sorry about that.
I'll let Brian go back to it then.
Yeah. So, I mean, depression means different things to different people. And, so I'm not quite sure how to always define that. But I think, you know, if you start to notice changes in people, you know, if they could be stressed, anxious, or depressed in their regular habits, if they're starting to become more withdrawn, if they're starting to, you know, again, I'm not the expert, but people that are bipolar have periods of being manic and periods of being depressed. So they're very wide swings. So if you see somebody suddenly running out, spending $100,000 on a new piece of equipment when they don't really need it, and a week later kind of seeing them in the doldrums, that might be a good indication. You know, increased level of alcohol, drugs, substance abuse, you know, to the extent that you notice it, and I would say abuse, are always good indicators. But there's nothing wrong with asking somebody, are you okay today? And sharing with them that it's okay to not be okay and that you're there to help and support them. Most of the time, you know, people that are experiencing difficulties are just looking for somebody to connect with them. And that's a big thing that's happened to us in the last 6 months is we've lost connectivity. And so if you can find a way to connect with them, I'd also share with you, you also have to find a way to protect yourself, because you don't necessarily need to own this person's challenges, problems, or issues. Be a good listener. Ask thoughtful questions. Provide some direction if you feel they need help. But if you feel like they need help, don't take out your diploma in amateur psychology. We all tend to want to fix what's going on. Refer them to or find or point them to resources that will help them deal with what's going on for them in a professional way.
I see that Angela's got a question as well, Kels.
Oh, yeah. It's a comment. Now more than ever, the song playing in my head is Bob Marley's Don't Worry About a Thing. Every little thing is going to be all right. Singing a happy song helps, in my opinion. Folks need hope now more than ever.
Right.
Absolutely. Yep. Well said.
That'll be the theme song for the show today. All right, Brian, how do people get a hold of you?
So I think Kelsey's published some information with my contact information, but for those that are listening, you can email me directly at brian@paulhanselfoundation.com. And Hansel's with two L's, H-A-N-S-E-L-L.
Fantastic. So, what's Victor? Uh-oh. Very good, Victor. We'll see you next podcast. All right, guys. So first of all, Brian, I wanted to thank you for coming on today and talking with me about this. Hopefully we can have you on talking about a couple of other things that you're doing later on in the future, but really appreciate it. We've got to talk about this. Hopefully this episode will help one person, and that would make my day. So unfortunately, we won't know that person, but hopefully we can reach out and at least get people to start talking. And by the way, guys, absolutely, if you can, check out the Convo Plate. It's a great idea. We're not pitching anything. This is to help get people to start talking. Okay, so I think that's it for today's podcast, Brian. I thank you for coming on to the show. If anybody wants to check out the whole episode and any of the shorter clips, go to Norman Farrar, aka the Beard Guy. And if you want to see the visuals, you can go to our YouTube channel, which is just Norm Farrar. And we have new content every day. Let's see. We haven't talked about it, but we have a newsletter that comes out every Monday. And as we say every podcast, it doesn't suck. At least nobody's ever come back to us and said it sucked. We provide really great content from around the online community, not only for Amazon sellers, e-com, digital marketers, social media, trying to just get people to become better online sellers. Oh, let's see. Monday, as I mentioned before, Mr. Paul Harvey from Seller Chatbot's going to be on. He's going to either be up really early or really late. He's going to be joining us from South Africa, and he's going to be talking about some of the latest and greatest chatbot, Facebook Messenger techniques. So tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, Eastern Standard Time. And I almost forgot, Kelsey, tell people what they have to do or should do.
Yes. Okay. So thank you for everyone for watching. If you feel so inclined, please like and share this video. Get the word out about mental health during COVID. This is an official podcast, so you can go to Apple and Spotify. Just search Lunch with Norm and you'll be able to find us. Hit that subscribe button. Next week, it is another 4-day week. But after this week, after next week, we'll go back to the regular Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So yeah, we have an extra episode next week as well.
I just wanted to give you a little bit more work.
Yes, I realize that.
You're my son. Okay, so thank you everybody for watching today. I hope you enjoyed it, you got something out of it, and we'll see you next Monday. Lunch with the